Mark, thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on, Pat.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what made you actually write a book.
Why did I write a book? Is that what you're asking me?
Let me check. What? Yes, why did you write a book?
There are some comics in this business who are not even in their 40s writing books, and they are boring. Who wants to hear about a kid who's 40, hasn't done yet nothing? I'm going to be 82. I've lived a show business life. I've lived a life out of show business. I'm an interesting kind of guy, and I tell it the way it is. I tell the truth. If it kills me, I have to tell the truth. I just don't want people trying to take my dignity away. If they do, they're going to have a battle on their hands.
Well, I have seen that, actually. In fact, I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and I know that you've had a couple of run-ins with him.
Well, I was his best guess, and if he tells me I wasn't, he's full of baloney. Because Howard Stern right now is no longer Howard Stern like he used to be. He cannot bring back what he did. He did it. It was great when he did it. He took chances when he did it. Right now, he don't take chances. He smokes a pipe, he plays checkers, and he plays with his dog. Then he became friendly with Chevy Chase, who wanted to kill him. Now they became friendly. He went to his wedding. Chevy went to Howard's wedding. And I said to myself, this guy, Howard Stern, became the man he used to make fun of.
That's what?
That's a sad scenario. He's no longer the guy that he was.
What, why do you think?
Something, he shouldn't be worried about it because he made a lot of money, and I think it's over.
Why do you think he changed so much?
Why? Because of the money. What else is new? You get $20, $30 million, and then you sign a $100 million deal. If he would have stood on regular radio, he would have made a few dollars more. But you know something? I think he would have been the charismatic guy that he was. I don't think he's got that anymore. I think his base has left him. He had 20 million people listening to him at one time. I don't think he's got 5 million anymore.
The book covers so many different people and so many different experiences that would take me about 2 hours to actually interview you about the entire book, because I really liked it. There's some great stories in it.
Stories, because, you know, something people want to hear, even when you make mistakes and some of the dumb things you did. That's what life is all about. I made so many damn mistakes. But you know something? I live with my mistakes till today. Because, you know something? That's being human. The only thing I will not allow is anyone take my dignity. My mother, my father, my sisters, anybody will not take my dignity, because that's the only thing I possess that I own.
Well, one night, someone took a little bit of your dignity, because understand Johnny Carson peed on you in a club.
Johnny Carson was the best for the 30 years. But let me tell you something what people don't remember. Before Johnny Carson, there was a guy called Steve Allen. After Steve Allen, there was a guy called Jack Paar. They were all sensational. Then came Johnny, who lasted 30 years. So they said he was the best of all of them. I disagree, because they were all the best when they were on the air at that time. And there was a guy called, many years ago, called Jerry, Jerry something. I can't think of his name offhand. But he had with Dagmar, and he had Jerry Lester. He was the real first guy to start that. And he's never got the accolade that he deserved, because he was the one that opened the door. But all of a sudden, we're all Johnny Carson fans. On the air, there was nobody better. Off the air, this was not a nice human being. And here's a man at one time had a big drinking problem in New York, and that's when he met me in the bathroom in Jilly's, and he urinated on my leg. And he said to me, well, I'm Johnny Carson. I said, I don't care if you're Kid Carson. You're not going to do that on my leg. How dare you? And I had to go home and change my pants and my shoes. And everybody says, well, you shouldn't got mad. He's Johnny Carson. I told Ed McMahon, how do you work with a guy like this? And Ed was bombed also. And I says, why are you taking my dignity away? Who the hell do you people think you are? You're not going to do this to me. So all of a sudden, I never did Johnny Carson. There's your answer.
Yeah, that you were on four times in like 72, and then all of a sudden you were gone.
Hey, what?
You were on four times in 1 year before that.
Well, on Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
No. I was only on Johnny Carson one time, and after that I was in California, and they asked me to go on a show. He remembered that I yelled at him. I never got on that show again. That's a fact. I only did it one time many years ago in the 60s.
Were you on with in the previous incarnations of the Tonight Show?
I'm sorry?
Were you on the previous incarnations of the Tonight Show?
I was on Jack Paar, and I was on Steve Allen. I was on all those shows. But Johnny Carson and I was never going to happen the same way. And listen, he's no longer here. But you know something? He's not a nice man. He doesn't know how to be a nice man. And the same with Imus. How a guy like Imus can be so big and so strong after he badmouthed people. He's not a nice man. He has no heart. He's just not a nice man. And I say it to him. I used to do his show. I was his guest. And when I told him I didn't like one of his friends, he said to me, well, you and I inherited you from Stern. I said, you're not even Stern's league. How dare you even mention Stern? How dare you talk about black people? And how dare you talk about your farm? I said, I'd like to know about your farm. Maybe you got 2 cows and a mouse.
Now, in the chapter that you called Better Pissed Off Than Pissed On, you did say in it, I was a guest on The Tonight Show a bunch of times, 4 times in 1972 alone, well, and when you were a guest, Johnny was God.
I have to tell you the truth. I only did it once because then it's got to be a mistake.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe that I did it. I did it 4 times. I know I didn't do it 4 times. That's maybe the only mistake in that book.
But I read the thing, so I wanted to.
Well, you told me because now in the second printing, I'm going to straighten that out.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
But
the night
I
that.
I lie to you. I will not lie to you because it's I wouldn't do it. And I know I only did it once, and it makes me feel good that you corrected me, and I love you for it.
Now, you mentioned Jilly's, and one of the people who was like the star at Jilly's was Frank Sinatra. You got some interesting stories about Frank as well.
Well, listen, everybody thought he was Jesus Christ, and that got me crazy. There's no man that big and no man that way. I don't care how great he sings. He was one of the greatest entertainers, but that doesn't mean that you can't stand up to him if he says something to you that you disagree with. He wanted me to take something out of my act, and I said, I don't tell you what songs to sing, and that's what's the story there. And after that, we became friends, but I never worked with him again. And people would kiss his toes, kiss his... I never did that. I didn't do it to my mother and father. Why should I do it to a stranger?
You told a very funny story in the book about Don Rickles and Sinatra. That's a great little story.
Well, Don Rickles, first of all, in my opinion, one of the great comedian soldiers of all time. I mean, he did things with Sinatra, and Sinatra liked it. It was good. But if I did something like that, it didn't work because my personality did not feel the same way as Don Rickles. And then Don was one of the great guests on the show, a great guest on Johnny Carson, and one of the best stand-up comics of all. He was wonderful, and he's still wonderful.
Yeah. You didn't have very good words to say about Joe DiMaggio New York listeners.
Joe was very cheap. Joe DiMaggio, every time I paid for his dinner, he gave me a ball. I had 5 of his balls. I said, listen, do me a favor, Joe, please. Don't put, my name on. Just put Joe DiMaggio so I can give it to the young kids because I'm not a collector. Mickey Mantle, the same thing. I said, don't put my name on. I want to give it away to kids. They put my name on, and I erased the name anyway and gave it to kids. Then I gave it to a friend of mine, a neighbor's husband. I gave him, and I don't save nothing. I really don't. I don't like to save anything because you know why? My children will, when I die, will not say, oh, look what we got. They're not going to save anything.
Yeah, one of the things you said about him was that he had a personality like a mop.
Yep. Well, DiMaggio?
DiMaggio, yeah.
Yeah, he was, listen to me. Here's a man, if you put him on a baseball field, he was charismatic. You took him off, he was like a walking mop. He had no personality. He just was not a nice kind of guy to get friendly with. He happened to like me because I would tease him and kid him, but he never picked up a check. And he got every nickel and dime he would just hold to himself. And he died a multimillionaire, so what good is it? And, you know, and most of the people picked up his hotel rooms and gave him all kinds of perks because he's Joe DiMaggio. In my opinion, nobody should be that big. Babe Ruth, none of them. They should not be that big. They make great monies in their business. Why do they want to be good? They want perks on top of it. How dare they? Gosh, they're selfish. That's what they are, and it's terrible.
Well, when you were little, did you ever think that you were going to become what you became, this huge success as
well,
a comedian?
I got to a point that I just wanted to work at my craft. I wasn't looking for stardom. I don't think I'm a star. I'm a name performer. I was not as big as Rickles or the Rodney Dangerfields or the Milton Berles. I was just happy to be in the middle making myself a good living, which I did. And I opened my mouth when people said, you're ruining your career. I said, no, I got to say what's on my mind. I have to be different than other people. Otherwise, I've got to get out of this business.
Well, you're right. That is your career. I mean, every time I think of you, I think of a guy who tells it is like it is.
Well, I lasted all these. I'm in this business over 50 years. And I was a bricklayer, a cab driver. I was a florist. I was everything. I had to work since I was 11 years old. So I turned around and I have common sense, and you don't see that no more. I got grandchildren who are going to go to college, and I love them dearly. They don't have common sense. There's no common sense. And my granddaughter said, what's common sense? I said, take out the garbage. What? You heard me. Take out the garbage. Mop the floors. They don't understand that.
I think it's more than common sense, Pat. I think it's a work ethic.
I was trying to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah, it's a work ethic thing. There's no work ethic for these kids anymore.
Well, the kids today they better have respect or they're going to wind up in deep trouble. I mean, now they're beating up the other kids. They're becoming bullies. We got to stop that right away before it gets out of control. I never had anybody, years ago when I was a kid, never fought anybody, never punched nobody. We played stickball. We played handball. That's what we did. And if you hit anybody, your father will break your face.
That's true. But you could use verbal assaults. That was pretty good.
You had to be respectful in the neighborhood. It was your neighbor, and you had to respect because your father would say to you, respecting me. When you do something wrong, you're disrespecting me, and they throw you out the window. Today, that's called child abuse.
That's true. And discipline at all is child abuse. It's ridiculous, and the kids need it, too.
Well, you got kids today don't even have the toys got to make them happy. We got to buy them toys to make them happy. They sit in a couch and they press a button and everything works for them. Years ago, we had imagination. There's no imagination today.
You're correct. There was also reading. We used to read books.
It was an honor. We had imagination, for crying out loud. We saw movies that were an hour and 20 minutes. I saw Titanic, the first one, with Clifton Webb and Bobby Stanwyck. I think it ran an hour and a half. It was better than this big monster that they had out there. 4 hours, you know. Again, how many times are we going to talk about that boat sinking? I'm getting soaking wet, for crying out loud. And what about the one, 310 to Yuma? That was with Glenn Ford. Then they made the second one, 310 to Yuma, with the same name. Why didn't they say 7 minutes to Saratoga? At least change the name.
Out of the people that are out there right now doing comedy, are there any that you think are good quality comedians?
Well, I'm very selfish. You know why I'm very selfish? Because I don't see the flow that I was raised in and that I had naturally. I see a lot of mechanics. I see comics doing politics for an hour. Then I see comics doing sex for an hour. Then I see comics doing drugs for an hour. Then they take their clothes off. Then they show their private parts. And then they talk about going with the black girl and going with the white man and going with them saying, well, that's not funny to me. It may be to the young people, but I back away. It's their turn, so if that's what they want, that's what they're going to get.
Tell me a little bit about the book, How Dare You Say How Dare Me. How'd you come up with the title?
Well, I always had an argument with myself, and I would say to myself, what makes them think because they are big names or big politicians that I am not allowed to stand up to them and defend my position? I was the Grand Marshal at the Italian Parade in Newark, and Robert Dole, the senator, a wonderful gentleman, was going to share the stage with me. So he gets out of his limousine, he comes over to me, says, Pat, he says, say something funny. I says, you're going to win. And he screams, because he was running for president at the time.
Right.
When he said that to me, I said, you're going to win. He gave me a hug. I said, well, here's a guy with a sense of humor. And he didn't have a chance. But you know something? That's me. Somebody said, well, how dare you disrespect the senator of our country? I said, listen, if the senator of my country don't have a sense of humor, I'm moving. Why shouldn't we have a sense of humor? Why shouldn't politicians and why shouldn't all kinds of people have a sense of humor? It takes away the edge of the tortures.
Do you have any favorite politicians out there now?
Any favorite what?
Do you have any favorite politicians out there now?
Who?
Politicians. Anybody that you like?
I like a lot of people. I popular people. Politicians in my day, I think, were a little more common sense. Today, they become stars. It becomes part of show business. Here you got Anderson Cooper, who's a man who reads the papers to us on the CNN or ABC, and these guys became stars. They're not become, they're reporters. All they do is report, but now they wear makeup. They got to go in front of the camera. They become stars. They're giving autographs out. What is their talent? Their talent, to me, is interviewing people and reading and letting us know what the news is for the day. But today, they get millions and millions of dollars, and all they do is just tell us the news and interview people, and most of them are not good interviewers. And then it's mostly good-looking girls today, which is good. I'm glad they put a lot of women on because about time they got paid, and I hope to God they stop paying the teachers the money that they deserve. That's the crime. When you give $40, $50 million to Derek Jeter or to the Joe DiMaggio's and these kind of guys, how about giving our teachers $100,000 to start with? Because they mold the minds of our kids. Why are we torturing the teachers? Why do they have to have a union that can't do nothing for the teachers? That's what bothers me. And your mayors and your politicians and your governors who should turn around and say, the law now is $100,000 a year to the teachers who have the points. That's what's got to be. Give them something, for crying out loud. Our kids are not getting smarter. They're getting stupid because our teachers are depressed, and it's wrong.
Okay. I agree with some of what you just said about the teachers union, but let's talk a little bit about more some of the things that you had opportunities to do in your career. One of them was you acted a couple times with Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, one of the top actors of all time. But I met Robert De Niro the day that I knew I was going to do the movie with him. I went over to him. I said hello. I talked to him like I knew him for 40 years because I didn't want to get stymied that when the camera went on, I did scenes with him. I wasn't going to get uptight, and I didn't get uptight. And you know something? It offended a lot of people. Say, well, you should get uptight. He's a big star. You didn't respect him. I said, give me a break. The man's a human being. He's a great star. I did my scenes with him, and they came out great because I didn't look at him as a great star. I looked at him as an actor, and I had to react to what he said to me. That's it. And then I did the second one, and you know the amazing thing? Everybody said, geez, you're a good actor. I was never asked another picture after that. And I said, how great an actor can I be? Nobody picked up the phone and says, we'd like you to go and do our movie, which is okay at my age now. It's over anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was doing a movie, I'd ask you to be in it. How's that?
I'm sorry?
I said, if I was doing a movie, I'd ask you to be in it.
Well, you're very nice. Let me tell you something. I've done it all. If it ends right now, I can't complain. I'm the most fortunate guy on the planet. I still got my grandkids, my daughter, my son-in-law. I got my brother-in-laws in Ohio. I'm okay. I'm cool. Everything is good.
Well, talking about movies, I understood that Martin Scorsese actually offered you a part in Casino in 96, and you turned it down. What happened?
He didn't ask me to rehearse, or he didn't ask me, here's a part, or two parts, or three parts. Read. He threw me a bone because I did his 50th birthday, and I turned around, and I forgot about it. It was my pleasure. And I never called. About 6 months later, I got a call. He said he wants me to go into Casino. I was living in Vegas at the time. I went on the set. He gave me the script. I looked at it, and I was insulted just looking at it. And I did a scene with his mother, who was a lovely lady, a lovely lady. We went to dinner a couple of times. She was really affectionate toward me and my wife. And I turned around, and I apologized to her. I said, it's nothing. She goes, Pat, you are Pat Cooper. That's why you ain't doing this particular part. That's you. You don't feel it's right for you. You got to do what's right for you, and I loved her for it. So somebody else wound up with a very small part, and I was insulted because at least I was looking for the Don Rickles part because I thought I would at least let me read for that part. Let me show that I could do that part. Nothing against Don Rickles. He never even did that. He just said, here's the page. Do this with my mother. And I turned around and I said, I'd rather not do it. Thank you. And everybody said, oh, you'll never do another movie. I said, I really don't care. And I wound up doing two movies with Robert De Niro. So there you go. I did what I wanted to do. If I fell on my butt, I did it. Nobody else.
I know you did a Seinfeld episode because I remember the Friars Club episode where you played yourself. Are there any shows on TV now that you would love to be on?
I'd like to do more talk shows. I really will because I'm a good guest. I got things to say. But then I found out, through some producers and directors, they either don't like me personally or they're scared that I may overshine their star, which is wrong. I'm not looking to overshine anybody. I am a talented man. Why are they putting me in the corner, keeping me away? I mean, how dare they do that? Why do they put people who don't say nothing on these damn shows? And I turn around, I'm the best guest around, and they know it. But when you got to hear, what about this guy Gelman? Before Gelman came into Regis Philbin, I used to do it at least twice a year. He don't even want me on the show. Here's a no-talented man telling a great talent, I don't want you on the show, knowing that I can contribute to the show. But then again, you know something? They ought to be ashamed of themselves. And let me tell you the secret. If you did something like that to their children, they would be the first one to cry foul. And Mr. Gelman doesn't even have a clue about me. Regis Philbin knows me, the one a few years ago.
Kathy Lee.
What's her name?
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee Gifford. And, when I spoke about Kathy Lee Gifford, I thought she wasn't that great. But I said myself, what was on my mind? But I used to do the show twice a year.
Do you ever run into Regis at all in the streets?
Huh?
Do you ever run into Regis at all?
I saw him once in a while, but he's always very nice to me, very kind, you know. And but you know something, they are not for this planet anymore. I'm not for this planet. It's too tough to start getting crazy and say, oh my God, and put a lollipop in my mouth and say, oh, I'm gonna cry. I did the best no one could do as good as I did for a man of my education. I take bows in the mirror and say, you know something, you're the luckiest guy on the planet. Stay the way you are. When you leave the planet, they're going to remember me because I said things that make sense.
Pat, what do you think would have happened with your career if you had stuck with your born name, Pasquale Caputo?
Well, that's another thing my family got crazy about. I had to change the name because I couldn't get a job with Pasquale Caputo. Then all of a sudden, my father said, well, Sinatra didn't change his name. I said, no, but Tony Bennett did, Dean Martin did. That shut him up. Then he got mad because I stood up to him. I said, don't give me that nonsense. What's in a name if I got a bad heart? What about all these great guys that got their name and they're not nice people? I'm still a nice man. I'll always be Pasquale Caputo. That's my real name. I'm still the same guy with the blood. I'm still the mistake and all the good things. So what are you everybody getting nuts for?
Now, you do a lot of traveling. I know you do a lot of flying. Have you run into the TSA pat-downs yet? Have you run into the TSA pat-downs yet at the airport?
I don't mind. If they want to pat me down, pat me up. If I don't want to go, I stay home. And if it gets to a point that it's getting on my nerves, I stay home. But they're there to protect us, damn it. We are now being held hostage by the terrorists. So if that's going to be the case, let them pat me, tap me, wrap me, scap me, whatever they want to do. They're there to protect us. Please don't be angry at those people. They got a job to do. We are in dangerous times. Please do not be angry at those people. Let them pat your pitchy-pitchy-pitchy. I'll give you a kiss.
Unbelievable. Pat Cooper, of course, our guest. The book is called How Dare You Say How Dare Me. And if folks want to pick it up, where can they get it?
I'm sorry?
Where can they get the book?
You can get the book and you know, Barnes & Noble, you get it at Borders. And you go on Amazon, you'll save a few dollars on Amazon also, and they'll mail it for you free. And it's a great book because, not because I wrote it, because there's some great stories and some great sense in it. And I just think it's a great ride. And my friend, Steve Guerin and Richie Hirschlock, who put the thing together for me with my words, I can't tell you how grateful I am to these two guys.
Now, do you have your own website for people to check and see where you're going to be?
I am going to be right now signing for the book. I got some jobs in January and a couple in February, but I'm not really looking to work anymore, stand up. I really am not. And, and if you want to look on my website, patcooper.com, that's where you can find me. And I'm out there, I'm not hiding, and I just get a big kick of getting old. It's a pleasure to be coming to 82.
Do you actually, what do you think about aging? Most people I talk to...
It's a pleasure to leave the planet. We don't have to be padded no more in the airport. We don't have to worry about getting sick. We don't have to worry about that. We never had sicknesses like we got today. We never heard of cancer years ago. We never heard of some of the things. I just tell people to eat the food of their culture. Do not upset your stomach. If you're Italian, eat lasagna. You can't eat Chinese food because it'll upset inside. Not that there's wrong anything with Chinese food, but we test our insides. And sometimes if you overdo it, it's no good, because you wouldn't give a horse a steak sandwich, would you?
Do you exercise and watch your diet?
What?
Do you exercise and watch your diet?
The last time I exercised, I was lifting a block as a bricklayer. I did that till I was about 23. That was the last time I'm exercising. I'm not an exercise guy. I don't run. I'm not a sports guy. All I do is lay back and watch people kill each other in the mixed martial arts, and then I go to sleep.
Well, it's worked.
It's worked for me, and I got no problems, and I'm a lucky guy. I just want to stay healthy a few more years to see my girls, my grandkids graduate college, and then I'll be a happy camper.
Well, we're all happy campers listening to your act, Pat, and enjoyed the book. And folks, go out and grab that book. It's called How Dare You Say How Dare Me, and you can go to patcooper.com for information.
God bless.
Thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Take care.